This morning, God's message comes from us from the book of Micah, and it's a promise that God makes to us as we await his coming son. Hear God's word this morning. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me the one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The past few weeks, we've been looking at different Christmas carols and hearing the Christmas story anew with the hope that through these carols, we would find ourselves on this Advent journey. And today's carol is O Come, Emmanuel, one of my favorites. And it has a beautiful call to faith for each one of us as we await the coming child. This by far is my favorite Christmas carol. I love the melody, how it carries me and encourages me on in worship. And the words capture my longing for Christ to come and make this world right, and my firm belief that he will come soon and be with us. The words themselves are taken from an 8th century chant, and there are 7 verses to this chant, a verse for each day in the week leading up to Christmas. And they were used in medieval worship leading up to Christmas to help people prepare for Christ's birth. And each verse contains a different name for God and calls out for him to come. This old chant was lost for many centuries and was rediscovered in the 1800s by an English pastor, John Mason Neely, who translated it from the original Latin text to the English words that we have today. And these words were then paired with a melody that was discovered in a French nunnery. And it was a tune that was written in the 15th century. And these two texts, words from the 8th century paired with music from the 15th century, came together and were published in the 1800s in a book called Hymns, Ancient and Modern. Verses vary some from hymnal to hymnal. There are 7 verses. Most hymnals don't carry all 7. Ours has 4. But this is where we find ourselves and where we hear God's message today. And the words that we hold before us in our hymnal are the words that were said for centuries before us as a way to prepare ourselves for the coming King, to remind ourselves who this Emmanuel is. It's no wonder that this is a holiday favorite. So many beautiful truths expressed about Christ, an incredible reminder that we are a people who are waiting for our King to come, a people in exile, desperately hoping for our King to come and bring us into his promised land. The song itself is structured as a call and response. Each verse we call out to God, asking him to come, and then we are invited to respond in faith and believe that Christ will come again and meet those longings in our heart to bring us out of this time of exile and pain and trial and suffering, and to bring us into God's glorious kingdom that he has created for us. Hear the wisdom in these ancient words, the call to Christ, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Here we find a plea for the Emmanuel, literally God with us, to come, to be our Savior, to save us from our sin, to ransom us from this troubled world we find ourselves in, to bring us to his promised land, that good place that he has created for us where there will be no more suffering, no more pain, no more fear, no more heartbreak, to bring us to our homeland. So we call out to him to come, and our response, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. It's rooted in a firm belief that as Christ came 2,000 years ago to save us, he is coming still to save us again. The second verse found in our hymnal calls out for our day spring to come, for the dawn to break through and the morning light to shine. O come, thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadow put to flight. We find references to God as our day spring or our dawn all throughout the Old Testament, but the most clear one, the most beautiful one, I think, is when Zechariah prophesies about who Jesus will be. And he says, God's sunrise will break upon us, and shining in those darkness, those sitting in the shadow of death, then showing us the way, one foot at a time, down the road of peace. God's sunrise will break among us. I love the imagery there. I was up this morning preparing for church today, and I saw the sunrise come over Unibank is where I see it rise. And I don't normally get up early enough to see the sunrise, but it was a beautiful picture to see the sun parting through the clouds and to see God's light bathing the land. This verse brings to mind the first glimmer of sunlight after a long and dark night. God's ray of hope breaking through the dark and gloomy clouds. We've all been there. Times in our lives where we have been overcome by darkness, where we have been surrounded by shadows, in need of a ray of hope. Christ is that ray, our day spring. I saw it in Rhonda's story in the video we watched just a few minutes ago about her fear and uncertainty about being pregnant, not knowing what the future would hold, being alone, and having God meet her in that place, to meet her in the fear and uncertainty of life, and to bring light and hope to that situation. God's daylight springs forth and breaks through the darkness. And Christ brings that ray of light like nobody else can. That's the hope we have in Christ, that he can part the dark skies and to fill our life with light. And so we respond to the coming King. Rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. The third verse calls for God's wisdom to come. O come, thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. To us the path of knowledge show, and teach us in her ways to go. Christ is called the wisdom of God, and it is through his life that we see God's will for our lives the clearest. It's through his teaching, how he interacts with those around us, the great love and forgiveness that he bestows upon people, that we see what God wants for our lives. And we are encouraged to love others as God has loved us. Christ is the one who sets us on the right path, who guides us when we lose our way, who is constantly pulling us towards love. He is the one that shapes the trajectory of our lives. So the next time you find yourself in need of some guidance, turn to God. Seek Him in His Word, the Bible. Study Christ's life. Find Him gathered here in this place in the body of Christ. The Bible tells us that if we need wisdom, God gives it to us generously. God has the answers we seek. When we're unsure of where we are to go next, where we don't know how to get ourselves out of a mess that we find ourselves in, when we need help shaping our marriages or caring for our children, God is there and has wisdom to give. So again, we rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. The last verse of our carol pleads for the desire of nations to come. Isn't that a wonderful name, the desire of nations? O come, desire of nations, bind people in one heart and mind. Bid envy, strife, and quarrels cease. Fill all the world with heaven's peace. I love this name for God. It's found in the book of Haggai, a small book in the Old Testament. And it's a reference to the fact that Christ and Christ alone can satisfy, that He is the true desire of our hearts, the desire of all humankind. Throughout history, we find nation paired against nation, fighting for things like land and power and resources. And this fighting will never cease until Christ comes and fills our hearts, because Christ is the one that we truly long for. Christ is our Prince of Peace. I've found this true in my own life, looking after things that I can't obtain, wanting more and more of something, trying to find my comfort and my security in things. But these have all failed. It's only been God, His Word, His love, that has satisfied me and has pointed me on the right paths. So we long for Christ, this desire of nations to come, to fill our hearts, to fill the hearts of the world, so that we could know His perfect peace. Rejoice, rejoice, my heart, Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. During this Advent time, we recognize that it is Christ and Christ alone who can provide what we truly need: hope, forgiveness, wisdom, love. And as we count down the days to Christmas, we anxiously await the time where Christ will return and will complete that good work in us. That time where Christ will return and make the world the way it is supposed to be, to bring us into His heavenly kingdom. And we do know that Christ will return. This is the promise we have today in our scripture reading, that though we struggle in this world, we find ourselves hurting or in times of trial, that one day this difficult time will come to an end, and we will know all the good things God desires for us. Hear God's promise to us today. Jesus will stand and shepherd His flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord His God, and they will live securely, for then His greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and He will be our peace. This is the hope that we have in Christ, that under His care, we will live securely, and His good love will reach to the ends of the earth, that He will be our shepherd, that under Him, we will truly find peace. This is what we celebrate on Christmas morning, that Christ has come and that he will come again to fill us with his love and his hope and his joy. And at Advent time, we remember that we are a people who wait, who are waiting for Christ to come, believing that he will fulfill this good promise to us. The Emmanuel is coming, and in him, our lives are made complete.